you in the home 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus. Wow. Sorry, was that loud?
Why have you turned up?
Wow. Sorry about that,
too much
Stefania.
We like energy. That's a little too much energy.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Hey, welcome to Fantasy Focus Football today.
No, bring the energy.
Now it's okay. All right.
It's just that, you know, we don't do this every day anymore.
Yeah. So, That's right.
I don't have the volume cued exactly right, and I'm getting adjusted.
Getting everything just been dialed in.
That's what we do in the offseason. We come in, we do a pod for 1 hour, and then we go back to sleep.
Hibernation. All week. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. Hey, we got a really fun show planned for you guys today. By the way, today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. I am here with Stefania Bell, as you just heard, and Mike Clay, as well, as you just heard. Guys, a lot of fun today. We're going to dive into a little bit more free agency news that we have had, as well as jump into Mike Clay's projections on a handful of guys. Mike, I have no idea. And Stefania said this before the show. I have no idea how you're doing projections now before we're even into the draft.
Year round.
Yeah.
You have to start somewhere. There's a lot that goes into it as soon as the season ends, diving into things like field goal rates from 0 to 39 yards. That stuff all has to get updated year after year, so I immediately dive into that and build that all out, and then it's ready to go. So when we're going to talk about, you know, this guy in a second, Mike Williams, when he signs with the Jets, I can put him right on that roster, do a little additional work to figure out what his target share would look like, what the team offense will look like, and then I can hit refresh, update everything, and we're good to go.
Actually, it's not what I said.
What did you say?
I did not say, like, oh, I'm surprised Mike Clay is doing projections
too. No, you're right. You were not surprised.
What I said was whatever they pay Mike Clay is not enough.
Not enough.
Because I mean, I agree with that.
Yes.
Am I supposed to disagree?
You can agree with that. Yeah.
I was looking through. I mean, it's a lot.
It's a huge document.
If you guys knew how much detail there is in here, and amazed. I'm like, oh, that's right. Oh, that happened. Yeah, oh, that too, right? And everything, it's awesome. And I really appreciate
the
work
you do. You could find it on ESPN.com. That's probably hard to find right there right now. We're setting up the cheat sheet page, but I do have it on social. You can find it in my pinned tweet at MikeClayNFL.
Just get out your magnifying glass.
It's almost 100 pages.
And you can zoom in. It's just a lot of words.
Open it up in Adobe or whatever you use. You can hit the little plus and zoom in a little bit. But there's team pages for everyone, projected leaderboards.
Heck yeah.
Starting lineups, projected win totals for next year. It's all there. And I'll update it every week.
The thing about reading it is I immediately was like, when does football start?
I know.
Which, you know, a week ago I was like, break. And then it's like, nope.
I can't wait. Well, imagine me. I love when I publish it. I'm like, I just did so much work. It's so great to get it out there and get it. It finally reaches the public. So now it's just a matter of updating it.
Well, go check it out, everybody, because it is going to be my, it's the gospel as far as I'm concerned. So.
Totally agree with Stefania. All right. And we got a bunch of people we're going to dive into. So let's start it out with the opening drive. I pointed at you, Mike, to do the noise for it. Yeah, that was
I forget. It's been a while. What's the sound?
I don't think there is one. How about you just say opening drive for us?
Opening
drive.
There it is. All right. That's good.
Mike Williams. Right,
well, we got to tape that
that's
off.
That's why you do the projections. That's right. Not the voiceover.
You're exactly right. I am not in production.
All right. Hold on, Stefania. If you're going to throw some shade, I want to hear your opening drive production. Let's hear it.
Opening drive.
I mean, that was better than yours, Mike. I got to be honest. Yeah, that wasn't too bad either.
It was terrible.
Yeah, no, it wasn't terrible. Stop. All right, hey.
So we need to hire someone.
Someone to do that part of it. Yes.
It's funny. If only there were people who
for a living. Well, here's the deal. We got a guy named Mike Williams. He just signed from the Chargers with the Jets. Mike, I'm going to ask you about his projection. But first and foremost, Stefania, I'm going to ask you about a 30-year-old coming off an ACL injury. What kind of vibes does that give you for a guy like Mike Williams joining this Jets team?
Can I add one more thing before you answer that, though?
Of course.
Because I was going to ask you that first. It was the first thing. Because projecting him is tricky because I posted an initial projection and everyone said, oh, yeah, this is great. 15 games. Are you some kind of idiot? Like, he's only going to play 7 games. How about projecting him? That was like everyone was saying that. But here's the thing. Prior to last season, tore his ACL in week 3 last year, obviously.
Yep.
Prior to that, he had missed 7 games in 5 seasons. Now, he also left a lot of games early. We know that. So that was my question for you. Like, how many games do I project Mike Williams for? Because he is one of the trickier guys in the league in terms of durability.
There's so many layers to it, right?
Well, and we just need a straight definitive answer,
exactly
what we asked.
Which is usually what happens when it comes to injury questions.
Yeah, in March,
especially if you're asking me.
Yeah.
Because everything is a cookbook, and automatically you know how many games a guy is going to play. Now, I think... Mike, you're taking all the right things into consideration, which is he hasn't missed that many games, but I think people have a sense that Mike Williams is going, you're going to have to comp some time out for injury because he has left games early and he has had a couple of significant injuries in his career. And last year being perhaps the most obvious with the torn ACL in week three, as you mentioned. So let's start with where he's at. When he came to the Jets, Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for us, reported he was about 4.5 months post-op, and he said he is on track to start the season. And everything he's doing suggests that, presuming, of course, no speed bumps along the way. And, you know, we're still early into it. We say 9 to 12 months on average for ACL returns. So there's enough time for him to be ready to start the season. That is true. What will happen between now and then, we don't know. And here's the other thing. You have to look at the style. I say this all the time, like broken record. You have to look at the style of the player, and you have to look at his, you know, everything in total, his history, injuries that have come before, et cetera. He's a big physical receiver. Part of the reason you love him is because he's going to go up and make any catch that is potentially contested. That's where you expect him to win. And he lands hard, you know, he falls, lands hard. Big deal when you're coming back from an ACL injury is not just can you plant, cut, run, get your speed back. It's confidence in your knee. So when you're a player who plays that way, you have to be sure that you have confidence in your knee. Now, I go to Michael Gallup, not the same receiver by any means, but if you remember when he was coming off the ACL injury, and granted, his was later, so less recovery window. But when he first came back, we kept hearing, oh, he's almost ready. He's almost ready. And do you remember it was him that was pumping the brakes? Like he wanted more practice reps. He wasn't quite ready to go. He didn't have the confidence in his leg to be out there in football. He looked great on air, great running routes. But when he had to play against a defensive player, it was a challenge for him.
Sure.
That's what we're going to have to see with Mike Williams. And unfortunately, you don't get to see that until you're starting to do it. Yeah. So I would say ready to start the season, it looks that way right now. Is he ready to play like Mike Williams pre-injury right out of the gate? It's unlikely because that's not usually the case. But can that build up over time and be fairly seamless? It might be able to.
Sure.
And here's the other thing. They managed Breece Hall extremely well coming off ACL. Different position, but I have to give the Jets a lot of credit. If you look at his snap count, went from like 14, I think, the first week to the 20s, progressively up to 40-something snaps per game. They may choose to be a little more conservative with Mike Williams, and it doesn't necessarily mean limiting him to a snap count, but maybe the plays aren't all designed around him as the primary target. Yeah. So if I'm projecting, I'm looking at it more that way in terms of how much of a target is he early versus as he gets more confidence in the knee.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, part of my question for you is, knowing that you have that, right? He's coming from a Justin Herbert-led offense, 30 years old. We kind of knew what he did there. He was, I don't want to call him boom-bust, but he kind of had a boom-bust nature to his game, right? Like, is that going to change with Aaron Rodgers under center? Do you think this is going to be the same Mike Williams that we've seen the last handful of years?
I don't. I mean, look, 2021 and 2022, he finished as a top 15 fan or top 25 fantasy receiver in points per game. And was off to a good start last year, but Keenan Allen missed some time. So I don't necessarily think we're going to put him that high.
Okay.
I have him 39th in my rankings. To Stefani's point, could be a bit of a slow start. The offense won't be quite as pass heavy as the Chargers have been the past couple of years. I think the Jets will lean toward the pass with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, think about this. They leaned toward the pass last year. Game script
adjusted.
And
they didn't have Aaron Rodgers.
Game script adjusted. So not just because they were trailing. That was with Zach Wilson and you name it at quarterback. So I do think they'll lean toward the pass, but not quite as much as the Chargers did. Target share-wise, probably should be in the same vicinity. This is a guy that has finished almost every year of his career, top 25 in yards per catch. He's going to be used as a vertical target. I don't want to say it's like MVS Gabe Davis level,
sure,
but that's similar kind of role. You're going to have Garrett Wilson hogging a huge target share as he has the last couple of years.
Yep.
Tyler Conklin is super underrated. They love him in the short area. Breece Hall out of the backfield. They're not done. Brock Bowers
I was just
is gonna a possibility.
Say that.
A great wide receiver class, day one or two, could be added to the fold. I mean, right now, their depth behind those two guys is weak, so I don't think they're done adding guys. So he could start slow and that's going to be fine with the Jets, I think, to get him to 100%. But fantasy-wise, I think you're looking at a flex.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You said outside the top 35. And I just did first draft with Mel Kiper Jr. today, and he had mentioned the idea that Brock Bowers to the Jets as a part of finding more weapons for Aaron Rodgers could be a thing that the Jets look to do, especially because they only have one pick inside the first two rounds.
By the way, Jets on paper, really, really, really good. If you haven't been paying attention to free agency,
yeah.
They are stacked. Now, it'll come down to the health of some guys, and the big question, of course, is which Aaron Rodgers are we getting? Does he still have it? Is he still an above-average quarterback? If he's an elite quarterback, the Jets are going to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
If he's above average, they're going to be really good.
The playmakers that he has on offense, too, and as long as he has protection. And that's the big thing for me is it's protection for him, because you're not going to expect him to run like crazy. Yep. And remember, it was his lead leg that he tore his Achilles on. It's not his plant leg. It should not affect him driving the ball whatsoever. And so he was considering coming back to play this year and pushing for that. Think of how much he benefits from all the extra recovery time. That's going to mean time bonding with his receivers, things that he gets more chance to do before the season even gets underway. Like, I really like them on paper as well.
Yeah, I think they're top five. I mean, their defense is elite. We already know that. Defense is still pretty much all there. Outstanding shape. The offensive line, they did
a
great job.
Added a couple tackles,
including Tyron Smith. The offensive line is outstanding. You have Rodgers, you have Breece, you have Garrett Wilson, you have Mike Williams, you have Conklin. Where's the weakness?
Tyron Smith, because that's the question I've been getting as well.
Yeah, that's a big one.
And can he stay healthy? Mm-hmm. And I think, look, one of the things that they did in Dallas was they managed the way his week went. You know, his practice week did not look the same as everybody else's. You earn that when you are that talented and you're that much of a veteran. And that was to try and help him with his health. I think if the Jets honor the same thing, he'll fit right in. I mean, there's no better friend for Aaron Rodgers and Tyron Smith on the field.
100%.
So anyway, 100%. I'm on the Jets bandwagon this year.
All in on this.
Last year, I liked the Dolphins, and that looked good until it got cold.
Until it wasn't.
Looked really good until it got cold. This year, I think I'm going to be on the Jets.
Yeah. Let's talk about another player that we've got moving teams. Alexander Mattison moving from the Minnesota Vikings to the Raiders. How dare you? Hey, quick shout out to my friend Andrew over at Airtime. I got a really cool Alexander Mattison card sitting here on the desk that's levitating while it spins around. Look at this rookie. Gem 10 out of 10 with an auto right there. Like, that's pretty dope.
Technology.
I think that looks cool, yeah. I mean, the way that two magnets just make me feel like this is the coolest thing in the world, and they're just magnets, guys.
It's interesting that Alexander Mattison getting the spotlight there.
It's because we're talking about him on the show today. That is why. Also, that's just a beautiful card. That's a big part of it.
It is a nice-looking card.
It's no Field Yates card, but...
It's not. But it is a pretty-looking Alexander Mattison card. Last year, unfortunately, not as pretty for Mattison as we had hoped with Dalvin Cook leaving. Knowing that he's going to come over to Las Vegas, we got Zamir White that is already there. What is it that you're looking at from this backfield, Mike?
Yeah, so I think he goes there. I think this is great news for Zamir White.
Really?
Frankly. I mean, are they going to add another back? Would you go with Zamir, Mattison, and a rookie, and then it gets interesting? They could do that, but I think this sets up Zamir White to be the lead back, because he did more in the last month of last season than Mattison did the whole season. He had four consecutive top 20 fantasy weeks did Zamir White with Josh Jacobs sideline last week. He only scored one touchdown, did not do much as a pass catcher, still was 11th in fantasy points during that span, played almost 70% of the snaps, 21 carries per game, basically just slid into that Jacobs role and did well, averaged almost 5 yards per carry. So I think he'll get first shot at that lead back job. Mattison, by the way, he's been around for a while. His best fantasy season was actually last year.
Really?
It was disappointing. He finished 38th. That was the best season of his career, 3 straight years under 4 yards a carry. I don't know. He just has the look of a backup. He was a good backup in Minnesota. Maybe a good spot starter if White misses time, but I think White gets a first shot here and is the guy I prefer. But at the same time, it's the Raiders. I don't think they're going to be a high-scoring offense, especially with their quarterback situation. So we're looking at White maybe as a flex option, Mattison more of a bench guy. I wouldn't go much further than that.
That bottom line on our lower third, Alexander Mattison, only running back without a rushing touchdown last season. Almost.
There's got to be a threshold on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
He had 3 receiving touchdowns, 0 rushing touchdowns, kind of random.
Which, for a guy that's going to have, I think the screen said 180 carries, over at least 150 touches, the idea that you're not being able to get in the end zone, that's a tough one from that perspective. All right, a couple more guys we want to talk about. This is a little bit of a bubble watch here. We got some running backs that we're looking at. Cam Akers, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Harris as well, Ezekiel Elliott, J.K. Dobbins, and Kareem Hunt.
All still free agents.
All still available. Mike, do any of them, if they sign with the team, do any of those names have enough zhuzh to move the needle?
It depends where they go. How about, let's say we get a report right now from at Field Yates that says, I'm out golfing in Boston.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire signs with Dallas. You know, then we might raise an eyebrow. Zeke goes back to Dallas, or even Damian Harris, if healthy, goes back to Dallas. J.K. Dobbins would be interesting. So it kind of depends on the landing spot. I don't know that we're going to be consistently starting anyone on this list. Perhaps the most interesting is probably Dobbins if he gets back to full health. And by the way, Cam Akers at the top of the list, two serious knee injuries. We hope he makes it back at some point. He's still young, but
it's going to be a while. Ankle injuries, really, technically. But
a couple of these running backs have been, like, Cam Akers we just talked about. Also, yeah. J.K. Dobbins, Stefania, like, what do you...
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What do you do? Like, if you're obviously right now, you're not drafting.
Well, you wait and see where he goes. But look, I think J.K. Dobbins went back to Dr. Eletrosh to get his Achilles repaired. Cam Akers went back to Eletrosh. They were calling it the Achilles factory, let's not forget, because they were all rehabbing together there with Aaron Rodgers. And this, you know, I'm very comfortable with where they are in their rehab. What they can do, what they can look like afterwards. I think Achilles repairs are we're starting to see a little bit of a sea change in terms of how we look at players after they have an Achilles reconstruction. And quarterbacks have been the spotlight this year, right? Because of Aaron Rodgers and then Kirk Cousins.
Yep.
But another guy on this list, Deontay Foreman. Do you remember that he had an Achilles tear back when he was with the Texans? And then he comes back after that, goes to the Colts, tears his biceps tendon before the season even begins, is out for another year. People thought he was done.
Yeah.
And then look what happened when he went to Carolina a couple years later. Basically had a career season, ends up going over to Chicago, still a high contributor last year. So that's a running back with a history of an Achilles repair that, before, we would have said that's the end of a career. So also, I think we just have to think about it differently. And again, this goes to the individual. J.K. Dobbins had that rough year after his ACL, but had really started to, you know, we saw him come alive and then the Achilles, unfortunately. Again, might be off to a slow start, but I think he's still a very serviceable running back and probably could find, you know, if he finds the right spot, he could excel by the end of the year.
Gosh, it is so tough with J.K. Dobbins because the skill has never been in question. It's just, as we all know, it's the ability to stay on the field.
By the way, Foreman just signed with the Browns, so you could tell they're preparing for life perhaps without Nick Chubb for a little while to start the season after he had that serious injury.
They needed to because there's just no way he's going to be ready.
So it's Deontay Foreman, Jerome Ford, and they have Nyheim Hines. It's another blast from the past. He's been out for a while. Nyheim Hines, another ACL injury.
That was the boating injury, right? That was that happened right before the season started. And then Kareem Hunt, who had been with the Browns, he ended up with a groin injury. He had to have an adductor muscle surgery. And consider that Kareem Hunt had that injury in week 3. I don't think people really gave him enough credit. He played with that all year. It was something that needed surgery at the end of the season. I'd like to see him end up somewhere with another chance.
Yeah. Handful of running backs that we are keeping an eye on as free agency continues to see where they land. A couple
Can I ask one more?
Of course, okay, go ahead.
Because I have my clay here, so I'm going to make this about me.
Absolutely.
What do you think are the chances? You mentioned Zeke maybe back to the Cowboys. Do you think that happens?
I think it makes a lot of sense.
I don't know why I didn't think of this. It's like the most obvious thing that you don't see sometimes, but I thought he would end up back there potentially last year. Now I love this.
I think it makes a lot of sense. Probably won't go back to New England because they signed Antonio Gibson to go with Ramondre. Dallas has not addressed it. Nope. It's Rico Dowdle.
And Deuce Vaughn, those are the two.
Yeah. Deuce Vaughn, who's like as big as my daughter. Yeah, like he's tiny. So he's definitely more of a backup. So I would not be surprising at all. I think the most likely outcome is they draft someone, but a reunion there makes a lot of sense.
They could draft someone and still bring him back, though, right? Because, for a discount.
Absolutely.
Yep, I can see it.
Let's talk about a couple wide receivers here that are still yet to sign. Tyler Boyd has been the number three in Cincy for a long time. Michael Thomas, obviously released from the Saints. Michael Gallup, who Stefania, you had just mentioned. We got DJ Chark as well. Odell Beckham Jr. and MVS. Guys, OBJ, I know Mike McDaniel said that the Dolphins have reached out to him.
I just want to point out that our research note from the awesome Kevin Pulsifer, the most important note I see on there, recently broke up with Kim Kardashian.
Yes, that is true. That is accurate.
Do you think this will affect his landing spot?
Listen, it might. It might.
Where do they live?
LA. Are they
in LA? SoCal? Okay, well, he's a standing offer from Miami, apparently.
Yeah, so I think Miami might make some good choices there.
Yeah.
Mike, when you look at this, does anybody stand? Who is it that you say, hey, if they go in the right spot, they could maybe have some fantasy value for us?
I don't know.
Because wide receiver's so deep, right?
Fantasy
with the names
value?
We're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Gallup was losing his job to Jalen Tolbert in Dallas last year. I'm not sure he just has it. I don't know, maybe a couple of years off his major knee injury, he'll get it going. I don't see much there. Tyler Boyd has been connected to Philly. We'll see, maybe. I mean, he could be the slot there and have some value if one of the top guys gets hurt. But
can he? I mean, that's what we thought in Cincy, and once in a while he would, but it wasn't consistent.
That's what I'm saying. I'm digging deep here. I don't see much here that's going to be a consistent fantasy starter next year.
I agree with you.
I feel badly for Tyler Boyd, though, because I feel like he would have fared a lot better. I mean, part of it was the offense and the choices, right, around him. I mean, the note suggests he needs a supporting cast, but we don't really know what he would have been without the competition that he had as pass catchers in Cincinnati. I mean, it's great for the Bengals, but not necessarily great for him. I'm surprised he hasn't found anyone who's interested in picking him up.
We'll see. He'd be a good one for the Jets as well.
Ooh.
To put in between Williams and
Harrell.
That'd
be
a fun one. So we'll keep an eye out.
Doesn't Aaron Rodgers have another wide receiver from the Packers that he's just going to ask the Jets to sign?
I don't know. Alan Lazard is still on the roster.
I know. I saw that. I saw it.
We'll see.
All right, we're going to keep an eye on free agency. It's going to continue, obviously. But for now, it's time to move into our new segment called Project This. Wow, Mike, we got music and everything.
All right, so
here's how this is going to work.
I did not pick that music.
Stefania and I are going to go through and look at a couple of Mike Clay's projections, almost like a
game.
Sounds
like Benny Hill music.
Yeah, it does. A little bit. So we got the Mike Clay avatar up on the screen. Mike, you've done projections for a bunch of these players. You're going to give us a handful of names to choose from.
Let's be clear. I have punter projections. They're all there.
Gosh.
Everyone.
Okay.
Everyone is done.
All right. So to start things off, let's take a look at the quarterback position. We're going to reveal a handful of guys here.
Okay. So you see player one, player two, player three, and player four on the board. And I'm going to give you the names of who these might be. And you can try to mix and match here. So
it's like if we had a board where we had like one of those, you bring something over from what, like draw a line from like match. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
This is interesting because there's no rushing yards in here. Which
this is just
trickier.
Passing stats.
So it's going to make this harder. So here we go. We got Brock Purdy is one of them. CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Jordan Love. That's your four quarterbacks.
C.J. Stroud.
That's not possible.
Purdy, Stroud, Richardson, and Jordan Love.
Anthony Richardson is definitely not a part of this list because he didn't throw for 3,300 yards.
Yeah, this is 15 games.
Wait. There's no way. All four are represented.
Maybe that's
here.
The second list.
What?
I don't think Anthony Richardson is on this list.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think he threw for 3,300 yards or 3,800 yards.
No, this is projections for next year.
These are your projections?
Yeah.
You have Anthony Richardson throwing. Okay. All right.
Let's explain it to Daniel.
No, I did. My brain.
Project literally.
You're right. It's just project this. It's not look back.
It says projections.
Okay, so you said Brock Purdy, Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love,
and CJ Stroud.
Okay, I want to pick player two.
Go ahead, Stefania.
Player two is CJ Stroud.
Player two is CJ Stroud. Ding, ding.
Okay.
You got it.
I think player three, 3,800 yards, 25 touchdowns, 11 interceptions for 260 fantasy points, 474. I think that one's going to be Jordan Love. All right, Stefan, you want another guess?
So you were guessing player three?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess Anthony Richardson.
Nope. Wow. Uh-oh. So if I did not get the 49er?
Wow, well, so that one's Brock Purdy,
Brock Purdy. I figured Brock Purdy was going to be down in the lower touchdowns because you were going to have all these rushing touchdowns.
No way. Niners, best team in the league on paper, you know.
So. All right, so then the first one I think is Anthony Richardson.
I didn't want to act like I knew that.
I know you know. Yeah. One is Richardson, of course. Two is C.J. Stroud. Three is Brock Purdy. Four is Jordan Love.
So I guess the big giveaway there for me is the idea when you look at Richardson's touchdowns, right? Because this is only passing numbers. 15 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. We expect him to have a lot more rushing upside than that.
Yeah, and that kind of shows you. You look at this graphic, it kind of shows you the value of rushing because Richardson is way behind the other quarterbacks in terms of
passing yards,
passing attempts.
Touchdowns?
Not pass attempts with Purdy, but yeah, passing touchdowns. He's 15. Everyone else is 24 plus, and he's the top scoring projected fantasy quarterback. So we've talked about him on other shows as a potential top five fantasy quarterback next year because of what he can do with his legs.
So the gap on the touchdowns, you think that some of that is him and some of that is like Jonathan Taylor?
It's Taylor, but it's also Richardson who had, four rushing touchdowns in
five games.
That's what I was asking. Yeah. So it's kind of a split between the two in terms of total.
Yeah, that's why you don't see, Lamar Jackson put up like massive passing touchdown numbers. Right. Jalen Hurts runs so many in. I think that's what you're going to see with Richardson. He's going to run for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns next year.
Are all those guys inside your top 10?
They are very close. Richardson is, Stroud is probably like eighth or something. Purdy and Love are in that 10-12 range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
so all those
tier.
Are considering starting quarterbacks for that one.
Yeah, yeah.
We got another list of quarterbacks, Mike.
Quarterbacks.
Let's go. Throw that on the screen.
Okay. So this list will be.
You did so well with the first list.
Yeah, crushed it.
Well, now we know the game.
All right. So Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. So we're going up to the top here. Oof. These are the top guys. Dak, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. So.
All right. So I'm going to guess.
Lamar is the second. Sorry.
I'm guessing number four is Josh Allen.
Number four is not Josh Allen.
What?
Number two is Lamar Jackson because the pass attempts
are
really low.
Yep, that's correct.
Only 467 pass attempts for the projection. I'm going to think that Patrick Mahomes is the... I'll bet you Jalen Hurts is player one. I'll bet you...
No Hurts. Allen, Jackson, Mahomes, Prescott.
Wasn't even a choice.
I can't even believe it.
I just thought I was looking at the yards, and I'm like, Josh Allen can get, I'm looking at his yard total, so he's got to be close.
I'll tell you this. A lot of interceptions.
None
for
of
Josh
those are
Allen,
Josh Allen.
Too. Is he regressing on the picks, you think?
He threw a lot last year, but keep this in mind. The Bills switched coordinators and play callers during the season last year and they leaned toward the run, which makes him very interesting. Throughout Allen's career, and this applies to Stephon Diggs and the other pass catchers as well, they were very pass heavy throughout Josh Allen's fantasy superstar years. That changed.
Second half of the season, when they went to Joe Brady last year.
I had James Cook in my war room.
Yeah, he was great. And they were still good. They still scored the same number of touchdowns per game, just regardless of coordinator, but they ran the ball a lot more. So that is factored in here and why maybe his interceptions and passing is down a little bit from what you might expect.
Oof.
So he is the first one.
Josh Allen is one.
Allen's one. Jackson's two. So we have Mahomes and Prescott, three and four.
Mahomes. Oh, go ahead, Stefan. Mahomes has got to have that. Yeah.
I think the tip-off's the passing touchdowns for Mahomes.
I think the producers are tired of waiting for us because we're so bad at this game that they've just put up the answers.
There's a lot of reasons to look through them, Stefania.
Well, the number of yards for Dak I find interesting. Like, we're just expecting him to keep launching the ball.
They throw it a ton, yeah.
I Mike, talk to me really quickly when I'm looking at these projections, and for people that are only listening to the audio product, apologies for this. And second, when you look at the yards, 3,700 for the projection for Josh Allen, 3,500 almost for Lamar, 39 for Patrick Mahomes, only one guy over 4,000 passing yards. When it feels like it's a passing league, is that just being conservative with pass attempts, with passing yards?
Well, again, these assume the way I do injuries, and this is just years of learning, this is a decade plus of study, and this is... It's so hard to say. We throw it around all the time. Like, this guy is injury prone or that kind of thing. I kind of put a blanket on it. There's no quarterbacks projected over 15 games. There's no running backs over 14 games. Running backs or receivers and tight ends are max out at 15. So that's kind of why the ceiling will be lower for these guys. And you're also going to have guys who, you know, there will be more quarterbacks with 4,000 yards. I realize it. But we're trying to project where the most likely outcome is for these guys. The odds are they're going to miss a lot of time. Not many quarterbacks made it through last season. There was only a handful.
Yeah.
And there's only a couple of running backs that have played in every game over the last 2 years. It just doesn't happen. It's just one of those things. So that's the best way I do it. And if you're like, that's dumb. You shouldn't do it that way.
Do your own projections then.
Here's the thing. Take all my projections that you think are too low, all of them, and compare them to every line that comes out when the sports books, when ESPN Bet drops props. Mine are still going to be high. It'll still say 65%, 70% over. That's what it would recommend. So I'm still high. And everyone thinks they're low.
They're low.
Because you know what it is?
That's
people
why they make
are
money
injecting like what they want.
That's right.
When they play fantasy, they're
that's
like,
right.
But I want more the yards
over,
for my
the
players.
Under, yeah,
the unders
the overs do not hit for season-long player props very often.
Yeah. All right, that's quarterbacks. Mike, let's dive into a bunch of running backs here. You've got another full screen for us full of a handful of running backs.
All right, here we go. So Joe Mixon, Daniel's favorite player. Joe Mixon is on this list now with
Joe
the Houston
Mixon,
Texans.
Yeah, Texans.
Ken Walker, the third, who Seattle? I feel like he's a little bit of kind of the forgotten man because he was so injured last year, but still a great player. Isaiah Pacheco and Josh Jacobs now with the Green Bay Packers.
That is just the weirdest move. I still think that's the weirdest move of free agency for me.
Okay. So,
pretty close. This is a challenge.
I was going to say, this one is tougher because
they're almost like they're so similar.
Not a lot of differentiation there in those numbers. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take Josh Jacobs to be the guy. Josh Jacobs is the last one.
Nope. I feel bad for you guys because
they're
all
so
close.
This is so hard.
Look at fantasy points.
I'm also going to look at fantasy points.
Yeah, who would you rank first?
Who would I rank first?
Yeah, because I mean they're sorted by fantasy points.
I guess okay. So Jacobs would probably be first.
Probably Pacheco would be my.
Yes, Pacheco is player one. He's projected the highest.
Okay.
8 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, 237 fantasy
points.
And
that sort of fits with what we've seen, assuming he stays.
Especially if Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't. I mean, they haven't signed another back really.
And then if we're going in order of fantasy points, I'm guessing. But Josh Jacobs, number two.
Nope.
So then that means Joe Mixon is two, Josh Jacobs is three, and Ken Walker the third
is four.
That is
correct. That is correct. Yeah. Mixon just delivers.
It's like
I know you hate him.
Yeah, it is like Wordle. Once you see it,
then you know, not that spot, but the other.
Actually, it seems more like connections. So it's like, this is impossible. None of this. I don't know if you guys play connections, but it's like sometimes it's like these just don't make sense. But they're just so close to each other here. But yeah, Mixon just gets it done.
It's so weird to see Mixon with the Texans.
It really is.
What do you think happens, question, with him? Is Damian Pierce like just out of the picture?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, he was a third string tight end.
Running back.
That's how bad it was. He moved
to tight end. It was tough.
I just don't understand the total.
Feels like it's not he's not a scheme fit. I don't think he just got bad. It doesn't feel like he fits what they were trying to do.
I don't know
though.
If he was fully healthy, and maybe that's something we could talk about later in the offseason. But
pretty
he just got. He got dumped all the way to the point where he was third. Dari Ogunbowale was ahead of him.
Which
Devin
I just
Singletary.
Felt, you know, does he get a do-over? Because he was so good.
Not with Mixon getting a three-year extension.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
Mixon show. And that's a great offense there. I mean, Mixon's in a good spot.
When you look at those guys, are they just outside the top 10, those four that we just talked about?
In that, these are all borderline RB1s. So, Pacheco... maybe RB9, Mixon right there. Jacobs, I think we talked about him as RB13, 14, and then Walker. The problem with Walker is you have Charbonnet, one of our favorite named players in the league, and you have a guy that doesn't do much in the passing game, which is problematic. So more of a mid-range RB2.
I just have no idea what to expect from Seattle, too, because now I felt like I knew them when it was Pete Carroll's offense, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they were better offensively than it seemed last year. Yeah. I felt like it was just kind of bad luck. I think they'll bounce back this year. Geno Smith played pretty well last year.
Ideally. Hopefully we see more of that.
Except all right, for the offense well anyway.
Except for when they play the 49ers.
Except for that. All right, let's look at another list of running backs that we got here. Mike, more projections from the running back situation.
All right, this will be a fun one.
Even
right,
more fantasy points here.
Wow,
okay.
Wow.
All right, so we have Kyren Williams.
Kyren.
Derrick mm-hmm. Henry. Jonathan Taylor. And Saquon Barkley.
Wow. Okay. So we have a lot to digest.
Everyone has 9+ projected touchdowns. No one over 12.
Derrick Henry's the last one.
Yes, he is, with 12 projected rushing touchdowns.
I love it. Love that call, and I agree with you. That's where I would have put him.
That's right.
Saquon, the problem is like so many people who can score, and they rarely ran it into the end zone. So I'm guessing he's one of the ones with the 9.
I think he's one. I think Saquon played one.
He is not.
Ugh. Yeah. All right, Stefania, you're right then.
I'll tell you what, though. Two very high pedigree players who have been fantasy superstars projected right next to each other. That's your tip.
Yeah. Okay. So Saquon and Jonathan Taylor
right.
are 2 and 3, but which is which? I'm going to guess that Saquon is 3 and Taylor's
correct.
2.
Yep, a little more rushing production here projected yep. for Jonathan Taylor. A few more carries, more yardage.
Way to go,
a lot more yardage.
And that makes Kyren Williams number one.
And that makes Kyren Williams number one, yeah.
Wow, he's Kyren Williams leading that projection list.
Well,
he is. Yeah,
in fantasy points because of the touchdowns.
Five. Yeah.
I was looking back at the Rams and I was like, actually, they look really pretty good as a fantasy team.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think don't you think people look at them better going into this year than last year? Because mm-hmm. you get Kyren Williams back healthy now. You get Puka Nacua, who we know he can mm-hmm. do. Cooper Kupp theoretically in a better spot mm-hmm. than he was last year. And Matthew Stafford showed he could still sling it plenty.
I agree. Yeah, 4 potential fantasy starters. Stafford probably won't make the cut most weeks, but Kyren and Kupp will, and Nacua will.
But
no
in
tight
terms
end,
of being able to deliver fantasy points from the people who are getting the ball from him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, let's dive into a bunch of wide receivers here. You got 4 guys you want to give us. Give me a range of who we're talking about.
All right, here we go. We got Garrett Wilson, okay. Michael Pittman, Nico Collins, and
ooh.
DJ Moore.
Wilson, Nico Collins. Give it to us one more time.
All right, we got Garrett Wilson, Michael Pittman, Nico Collins, and DJ Moore. And I'm looking at the projections here. We have an 285s for projected catches, a 99 and a 78. So maybe that's a tip off. Also, kind of funny,
4
the guy projected
Michael
for
Pittman.
The most catches with 99 only has 4 touchdowns.
That's Michael Pittman.
That's Michael Pittman.
Absolutely.
I was just going to say, yes.
So
there's
your
lowest touchdowns. But,
the dude does not get the rock near the goal line.
But he is going to be the one that gets the ball from
I'll tell you
Anthony Richardson.
Number one is interesting because this is a guy who I was like, when I did the projection, I'm like, wow, that is a high projected touchdown total. And I was like, is that right? And I did a little digging, and it checks out when you think about what that offense is going to look like. This is not a guy that has scored many touchdowns so far in his career, but I think he has the big breakout this year.
I agree. DJ Moore?
No.
Oh.
Is not that guy. DJ Moore is not that
guy.
Yes, that's what I was saying the whole time. It's got to be Garrett.
Yeah. It can't be Nico Collins.
Got to be Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
He hasn't scored. I think he probably has 9 in his career so far.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, but who's he played with at the quarterback position?
That's what I mean. It's not his fault.
That's why. Yeah.
So he's set up really well as number one here with Aaron Rodgers. So I was in on him last year. I'll be in on Garrett Wilson again here in 2024. So he's 1, Pittman's 2. So you have to figure out Nico and DJ Moore.
Wait, I thought Pittman was 3.
Pittman's 3.
So Nico.
Who scores more fantasy points, Nico Collins or DJ Moore?
Caleb Williams throwing the ball, but they got Keenan Allen
at
the Bears. So I'm going to say that DJ Moore is 4.
Correct.
That's what I would say
Collins
too.
Is 2.
Yep. Little dip for DJ Moore there with Keenan Allen taking targets. That is a tough one because you're never, like you said, a rookie quarterback. You're going to try to get the ball in the hands of 3 running backs. You have not only Cole Kmet now, but also Gerald Everett, who's going to get an occasional target in that offense. You bring in Keenan Allen. You have DJ Moore. I don't know if there's enough volume to keep everybody happy in Chicago, much like Green Bay. It's a little bit of a concern for me, especially as it applies to Keenan Allen's projection, which comes in kind of low, actually.
Really?
Yeah, more like wide receiver 3 territory.
Really?
There's not enough to go around. I don't know how they're going to do
it. But I feel like he and Caleb are going to be a good match.
He's already hanging out
at Caleb's pool.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with
that. He's also, 32 now, which is a little bit of a red flag.
But I would argue if anybody has... Okay, he had the bad hamstring year. I'll acknowledge that in terms of injury, but He's just so good as yeah. route. Like mm-hmm. in what he, where he is in the middle of the field, I feel like this is the whole thing, right? People are were concerned. Can Caleb Williams throw from structure? Is it just, you know, we saw these crazy plays when he was at USC out of desperation because they had no defense. It's going to be different here. I feel like Keenan Allen's going to be a good friend to him. Lots of receptions, maybe not a lot of touches.
I was going to say, I wonder if he's a better NFL asset for Caleb Williams than he will be a fantasy right. asset for maybe. Us, but definitely. All right, Mike, you got another
last
list of wide receivers.
Last one, we're going to go with some superstars here, so this should be fun.
Okay.
A.J. Brown. Jamar Chase.
Heard of him.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. And Justin Jefferson. So, again, the catch total is interesting.
How do you do a Justin Jefferson projection when you don't know if it's...
Not well. I didn't like it at all. 110 catches, 109, 105, and 93. So someone's well behind everyone else in the catch department. But that player tied for the lead in touchdowns.
Yeah, that player is A.J. Brown.
That is A.J. Brown, correct. He is 4. 93.
Which one? He's number four.
Yeah, just the lowest receptions.
Ooh. That's right. And then the other three are projected for a .105 or higher in catches.
I'll tell you what I'm excited about. The fact that you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown projected for 7 or more touchdowns. That makes me happy.
He's awesome.
Well, yeah, he's so good. I mean, I feel like, let's see, of the fantasy points there,
it's going to be interesting.
I just wish
when you
I knew
these
who
out.
Was throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson. I feel weird. Well, I feel like the Vikings are so confused.
Player one's way ahead of everyone else in projected points. That must be Jamar Chase.
Yes, correct. Yeah. That's what I have. So Jamar Chase, and then I like.
So
I
this actually, is fun. Wait, but hold on. So it's either Justin Jefferson or Amon-Ra St. Brown. So who's the higher projected player?
ARSB, baby.
What do you think, Savannah?
I mean, that's what I would do given the uncertainty of the Vikings. But I think if depending who you plug into the quarterback, I would then say Justin Jefferson's
Sam
number
Darnold
two.
For now.
But I'm not really.
I think the tip-off is the yards per catch, right? A much higher yardage total for player three.
Justin Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah. Because Amon-Ra's in the slot. He's in the short range. St. Brown projected ahead of Jefferson.
Yes!
Sounds
awesome.
But when you figure Sam Darnold is their quarterback right now, they're probably not going to throw quite as much as they did with Kirk.
Do you think there's anything that would make you change that? Like, because what do? They either draft somebody.
It's a rookie,
And it's a rookie. I mean, they're not...
Even if they draft the rookie, it feels like Sam Darnold, they want to be the guy for at least a while, at least a portion of the season.
That's not going up.
I don't think that's going up. I think about guys like Amon-Ra and even Michael Pittman, who we talked about, just... so reliable. Their floor is so high.
So good.
Some people are going to think that's ludicrous to take St. Brown over Jefferson. It's not. Did you see last season how good St. Brown was? And Jefferson was great too. Don't get me wrong.
I did, in fact, see.
I had no issues going St. Brown.
Had Amon-Ra St. Brown on her winning War Room League team.
Yes.
Along with
winning
Jameer
player
Gibbs.
Last year.
Yeah. Two Lions drafted back-to-back round 1 and 2 in that league, and people made fun of me, except for Daniel.
That's why you're my best friend, Stefania. All right, let's recap these wide receivers really quickly. Player one from this one, Jamar Chase, because you had mentioned the number of catches as well as the yards that he's getting there, plus the touchdowns. Amon-Ra St. Brown comes in second in this projection ahead of Justin Jefferson. And then A.J. Brown, obviously, doesn't catch quite as many passes, but still a touchdown monster and is a huge threat at the wide receiver position. Mike, that was a good one.
We
all
projected
right.
that.
That was fun.
Let's close this out with tight ends, and then we got one more thing we're going to get to.
I don't have tight ends on my list, so I think we're done.
All right, no tight ends. No tight ends. All right, then let's talk about, we got some of the best rosters on paper for fantasy football heading into 2024. Again, all of this is way too early because we still got more free agency. We still got more of the draft. Things are going to happen. But Mike, I want to let you, you know what? No. You've talked too much already.
Yeah,
Stefania, I'm going to let you lead this off. Best on paper for fantasy offenses in 2024. Give me your top five.
It was harder than I thought.
It was hard.
I spent way too much time on this.
At first I was like, oh, that's going to be easy. And then I was like, oh, wait, cross out that one, move this one. And then what I realized is I have like, I came up with a list of five, but I have 4 honorable mentions that are like so close because it depends on who they
are. I have half the league here.
I'm not going to give you all of them. I'll go with my 5, but I know my clay. This
are they
is
in
not
order?
Mathematical. I put them in order because I thought that that's what I was supposed to do.
All right,
I
appreciate
that.
No, thank you for doing that.
So I have, should I reveal my number 5 first?
That's a great question.
Let's, I'm told to go in order.
Yeah, let's start at the top. Just start at the top.
Okay, so Eagles. Don't let Mike Clay hear me.
Typical.
But it's
Eagles
hard.
Fan
it's
bias.
Hard. I mean, with Saquon Barkley going there, I just I love that move. And we already know everything else they can do.
I just want to say this.
But I do have one thing, which is I want to see, you know, I think their tush push thing is going to go away. And so I think you don't think so?
No way. I mean,
I don't think
you had Kelsey in front. Now you have Barkley from behind.
Okay.
Right. He's going to just shove him in. They got this.
We'll discuss this later.
Yeah.
When we can figure out how to explain
it. I'm not sure you know how that touch push really works.
No, they're just going to push from a different direction.
I think what's going to happen is that Saquon Barkley is going to get goal line carries, and that Jalen Hurts will, you know, make a couple, but they're also going to have to protect him. He was banged up this year. So I think that he gets a few less. Don't argue with me.
I agree.
Projections.
I agree. Yes.
Let's leave it to the person.
For what it's worth,
if they're at the 1 yard line, they will do the tush push. I can say that with confidence.
I just want to say that both Mike and I also have the Eagles as our number one team. So I just don't want to come back and revisit the conversation. We've already got it. Stefania, we totally agree with you on that one. So keep on moving on.
Five must starts in fantasy. That's
they're incredible.
Right. Okay. So then my number two, and I don't love it.
Okay.
But it's the Bills.
Okay.
Because I just think Josh Allen puts up ridiculous fantasy points all the time. I'm going to use Mike's idea of regression and say he doesn't throw as many picks this year. Mm-hmm. I do your point about them switching offensive coordinators and kind of changing the passing game. But James Cook, solid as running back. I'll be interested to see what the whole wide receiving core looks like, but they also have Dalton Kincaid. So I just think there's a lot of fantasy weapons on that team. The potential to score a lot in that division, I think. And so
I agree. I like that thought process. I don't have the Bills as a top five team. Mike, do you?
Yeah, fourth on my list. I'm with you. They have four guys pretty much for sure we're going to start, including Kincaid. We'll call him a fantasy starter. With Dawson Knox there, maybe he's like 13th, but we'll probably start him in year two. Then the other one, the potential fifth one is there in Curtis Samuel. That's interesting. Will he be wide receiver three or a flex? It's a different player than Gabe Davis for sure, but in that offense, uses a short area target, it's possible.
Hmm.
So I'm with you. I like that. I have them fourth.
I'd rather have Khalil Shakir be the guy than
yeah, he's
Curtis
there too.
Samuel.
He's there.
We'll see how that works.
We'll see if it happens.
Yeah. All right, Stefania, another team on your list. Number three.
For me is the Texans. I just, again, when I did this, I wasn't necessarily, again, this is fantasy, top five fantasy team. Yep. So I was looking at the way I broke the ties where I, you know, I told you I had a list and then I had to whittle it down and I had to move some around was I looked across all the fantasy positions and I thought, when I'm calling it a top five fantasy team, I'm looking at productivity across every position, quarterback, running back, receiver, blah, blah, blah. And so with the addition of Joe Mixon, with the wide receivers that they have, I think that in their quarterback who, you know, I don't know if he's going to ever really run the ball, but he puts it in the air and gets enough touchdowns to still make him a high fantasy value. So I like the
CJ Stroud is a top 10 quarterback. Joe Mixon is a top 12 to 15 running back.
Top 100 for you. So does he crack your top 100?
He does crack my top 100. And then you've got both of the wide receivers that you mentioned, Nico Collins and Tank Dell, who were awesome last year. Even Dalton Schultz, honestly, he didn't do great last year. Yeah. But like, if you told me he was a top 12 tight end that could go higher this year, I totally buy that.
I think Schultz is going to be a steal in drafts because there's so many good tight ends this year. And once you get through all them guys like Kincaid and Njoku and Ingram, and you go, he's going to be like 13th.
And he sounded so happy to be there. And
you're
going to be fine with him.
You're going to be fine with him. I'm with you. I think you have five potential starters from this offense as well. Actually, I have the Bills fifth. I have the Texans fourth. So we're on the same page.
Where do you have the Texans? Page.
I have the Texans fourth. I was close. Yeah, we were all right around there. So there's just so many good things that could happen in that offense with CJ Stroud under center too. All right, team number four for you, Stefania. Surprise, surprise on this one.
Well, first in my heart, but fourth on my fantasy list only because I look, it's hard, right? They share. And I think the only reason I downgraded them wasn't because of what they'll put up in total in fantasy points. It's because if I'm drafting, sometimes you have a hard time knowing where are the points going in a given week. Christian McCaffrey is pretty reliable week in and week out. But we saw Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel have some volatility in terms of their fantasy production each week. I love Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to get a nice deal with the 49ers. Anybody who's paying attention to what's happening at the owners' meetings, John Lynch put to rest. People were acting like, oh, they might trade Brandon Ayuk. Get out of here. That's not happening.
Not going to happen.
And also, Brock Purdy loves Brandon Ayuk. So I love your projections for Brock Purdy, by the way, Mike Clay, because I don't think he's gotten enough credit for what he's shown. And get this. Remember last year? He had elbow surgery right about now and was rehabbing literally up until he was at training camp. He gets a fresh off season this year. He's gotten married, had a nice honeymoon. Mm-hmm. Now he gets to train without coming out of injury and is just that much more in sync with all of the rest of his offensive playmakers. So
yeah, we know Purdy's good. The question is, how good is he? Because statistically, if you look at QBR and PFF grade and efficiency and any over, you know, any adjustment of attempt yards per attempt, anything like that, Purdy's number one last year in like everything. So how much of that is Purdy? How much of it is Kyle Shanahan? How much of that is the weapons around him? Like, is he the best quarterback in the NFL or is he the 10th best? Yeah, that's a hard thing to figure out. But at the end of the day, he looks like the real deal. And he's still playing with all these guys in the same offense.
If it's any or all of those things, because they're all the same.
For fantasy, it's great.
Right. And and my point being that nothing has changed. Like, all those things are the same.
Well, Stefania's got the 49ers as fourth on her list of top five NFL rosters from a fantasy perspective. I don't know. I've got them at three. Where do you have them?
Yeah, I have them at three, too.
Oh, that's so strange.
Such a big difference.
She's biased against the Niners.
Yes, so. Not surprised. All right, Stefania, give us your fifth team that you like on paper heading into the season.
Well, I'm trying to be your best friend.
I appreciate that.
So I picked the Lions as my fifth. But listen, it's hard to hide my enthusiasm for the Lions after if you haven't heard me mention it, I'll let you know again, won the War Room League because of two Lions as my first two players, and Jahmyr Gibbs and Amon-Ra St. Brown. And they are clearly not the only fantasy value. Sam Laporta, unbelievable production and just incredible growth across the season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's not to like?
Dude, the idea that if you had said to anybody at the start of the season, hey, the Lions are going to draft a tight end in the second round after letting go of TJ Hockenson, and he's going to lead all tight ends in fantasy points at the end of the year, you'd have been like, you are crazy. But that's where we're at. I mean, that's a part of, and you mentioned it with Dalton Kincaid, we've seen some young tight ends kind of take some steps. Mm-hmm. Very excited to see what this Lions offense can do. Mike, where do you have them in your list?
Yeah, I have the Lions seventh. So part of the reason there is you have three stars with Gibbs, Amon-Ra, and Laporta. Then the other guys are more like, are they must-starts? Like Jared Goff's not.
He's not a must-start. Nope.
No. David Montgomery is probably more of a flex. You're probably starting him if you have him, but he might lose a little this year as Gibbs in year two takes on more. And then Jameson Williams, we don't know yet. Yeah. So
they don't have that number two wide receiver.
They don't have as
yet.
Many like certified must starts as these guys. Here's my list, by the way. Eagles one, I'm with you, Stefania. Stefania and I have four or five, so we're on the same page. The team you don't have that I have is, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs, Mahomes, Pacheco, Kelsey, you have Marquise Brown now, and Rashee Rice. They are stacked. I think the Eagles, Chiefs, and Niners are in their own tier.
You know how I was saying about the Niners that part of my challenge was who's getting the ball? So how do you decide where the fantasy value is? That's always my problem with the Chiefs. It's like, we saw it last year where one guy would have a big week. We've seen that for a couple years now. They haven't had like a true number one since Tyreek Hill.
At wide receiver, yes. Wide receiver. I mean, Rashee Rice in the second half. Now you have Hollywood Brown as well. They throw it so much.
But that's true. But so what does Hollywood Brown do to the value of Rashee Rice?
I think that's five fantasy starters, though. Rice might come down a little bit, but I still think he's going to be in the wide wide receiver one conversation. Kelsey's still a top two fantasy tight end.
When Mahomes you say starters, that means you have Hollywood as a top 30
yeah,
wide receiver?
I think he's more. Yeah, I think I have him like 33 or something.
Somewhere
like
around
that.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but at least four. But Hollywood Brown probably can end up being a fantasy starter as well.
I would think.
Yeah.
Is Patrick Mahomes any good?
I'm told he
Jury's
is.
Still
he
out.
Knows.
Dude, I mean, 2 years Taylor ago, Swift, Hollywood thing. Brown, no DeAndre Hopkins to start that season. He crushed it. I mean, he literally was the best wide receiver in football 2 years ago to start the season. So the idea that he could have Patrick Mahomes throwing him the football is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm.
So Eagles, Chiefs, Niners, Texans, Bills. That's my five.
That was your five. My five, if you look at the full screen, was Eagles, Lions, 49ers, Texans, and then the Falcons.
Okay.
No one's talking about the Falcons. You add Kirk Cousins to this roster. I know, Stefania, we got to make sure that Kirk is fully healthy coming back from his injury. But Bijan Robinson, you think he's finally going to get utilized the way that he should. Drake London. Please let us free Drake London and Kyle Pitts. Oh my gosh, we might actually have a quarterback that could throw the football to Kyle Pitts. So maybe this is just me like wanting to be excited. But even on paper, I feel like this Falcons team is a completely different team than what we saw last year. They're one of the better rosters in fantasy football.
Yeah, I hear you. How many lineup locks did you just say, though?
Bijan, Drake London.
Yeah, that's it. Kirk Cousins, especially early on, he's not going to have anything with his legs. He's always been like a borderline QB1. Again, tight end so deep, Kyle Pitts. Maybe have him 7th, maybe have him 13th at tight end.
He could finish as tight end 4, and it would be like, that doesn't
finish tight end 1.
Doesn't crazy me.
Right, we just don't know. It's a little bit of a prove-it year for me, for them.
Definitely.
For quite a few.
But I think, like, immediately in my mind, Bijan Robinson gets the biggest boost to me.
Well, and
or Drake London. I mean,
I think London gets the biggest boost because Bijan was already an RB1.
Oh, yes.
In terms of like
in terms
London,
of where you rank
London doesn't
him.
Have a top value. 30. Yeah. London doesn't have a top 30 season yet. I have him 15th, I think, in my rankings. Like, he's the biggest benefactor, I think.
I just think I meant by the biggest boost that the biggest jump in fantasy points, I think, is going to be Bijan.
Maybe it's just London. Because I, along with the rest of everybody that played fantasy football, was so frustrated last year at the Falcons' usage that I just want to put them on this list because they are so good. They should have been better than what we saw last year. This year is the, what is this team really going to look like with a signal caller that's going to take advantage of
it? And by the way, don't forget about Darnell Mooney, who was a fantasy starter for a while in Chicago and is now the number 2 receiver. They also brought in Rondale Moore, who, you know, he didn't work out. If he didn't work out in Arizona with that opportunity, I don't think you're going to be a fantasy starter.
Agreed.
With Atlanta. But I think Mooney's going to be a nice little mid-round, late-round flyer. We'll see where his ADP is.
I'm excited to see this team. Like, I just can't wait to see how they play together.
Oh, really? Because I'm the only one that put them on my list.
Just take everything you knew about that Falcons offense last year with Arthur Smith and then just send it to Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, move it to Pittsburgh.
And then start fresh in Atlanta. That's
notice
right.
Pittsburgh. Nobody had Pittsburgh on that.
Jalen Warren and Najee Harris are going to get a lot of usage.
Yeah, we don't have last
are
on here, right? That's the Steelers. Yeah. It's actually not. I mean, they're going to run Najee Harris and Jalen Warren and George Pickens will start. That might be it though. Like, I don't even know if Pat Freiermuth is going to be.
I was just going to ask. What do we think about that?
Maybe 15th.
What's their offense going to look like? We know who's running it.
That's the thing, and it's just because Russell is running it doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're going to get it back on track, because we've seen some pretty bad Russell Wilson recently, unfortunately.
I didn't think Russell was running it, but...
Yeah, well, it'll be first interception, the Fields chance will start. And it's good.
Dude, is that not a part of... Like, I totally get that this has nothing to do with fantasy now, I'm just diving in, but like... I get the idea of you just want to make your roster better, a 6th-round pick for a potential starting quarterback. Yeah. But as soon as you do that, you open up the door for those Pittsburgh fans 3 games in to be like, why are we starting this guy? Put Fields out there. Like, that's, I don't know. They're going to have to figure out a way to manage that.
And they'll probably finish 9-8.
Of course they will.
Because that's what they do. Defense still very good. So
defense still excellent. Yeah.
Guys, I got to ask you a real quick question. Rosie, my wife Rosie and I, Saturday was our 1-year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
the anniversary?
You. Yeah. So we went out.
Congratulations
we did
to Rosie getting through.
That I appreciate
this
that.
This is quite
the
pivot turn. Like, what are we doing?
I want to ask you a question. Well, we've got a few minutes left in the show. Right. So I want to ask you this really quickly. Rosie and I went out to dinner for our anniversary. And as a part of it, we went out to sushi. We like to sit at the sushi bar. I like sitting at the sushi bar.
Oh, yeah.
I don't do sushi.
You don't do sushi?
Don't do sushi.
What?
Nobody can believe that.
Stefania.
I know somebody from the Bay Area, somebody from San Francisco.
You must have some nice spots in West Hartford.
No sushi.
Wow.
No shellfish.
Okay. You're a steak person then. Is that your like?
Yep. I've lived well in Kansas City.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, let's say it's a sushi restaurant, but let's say it's any restaurant that you're choosing. Okay. But we like to sit at the bar. At the end of the show, or at the end of the show, at the end of the restaurant.
Live show.
We go up. I pay my bill. And then I want to like tip the sushi guys that are like actually made the sushi. Because when you leave a tip, it just goes for your server, not for the people that actually made it. So I take money out of my wallet. Oh. Yeah. And I go and I put it in the little thing that they have there. But all the sushi guys, as I put it in there, their backs are turned. So they don't see it. But I want them to see that I gave them a tip because I want them to know not that like they need to appreciate me, but that I appreciate them.
Okay.
This has to be a comedian. Like someone's got to do a bit on this somewhere. So what do you do at this point where it's like, I don't want to reach my hand back in to be like, hey, did you see me? I appreciate you.
That guy just took that money out.
So what do you do? It's like, well, now they're never going to know that I actually cared.
The fact that you removed your hand from the container.
It was already gone. You can't put it back in there.
You cannot put the hand back in. But you can call attention. You could wait a minute and just say, oh, I just wanted to thank you guys. Make a gesture.
What if it was like a Curb episode? That's what this is about.
I just want to say thanks, guys. And they're like, you know how you could thank us? You could put a little, and it's I already did. Come on.
Sure you did. Okay, so next time, just knock it over. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh,
I was
shoot, here.
I was putting so much money in there.
That's a Curb episode. That it fell over. Is having it fall over.
Yeah, that is
I think the Impractical Jokers did one where they had to go in and take the money out of a tip jar and leave.
Stop.
Oh, that's so they not, that's stop. So uncool.
That everything is uncool. With
that
the stuff
show
they
is and, so funny and uncomfortable at the same time. Yeah, it's very so tough for me. Yes.
No, I could never. I would fail.
I looked at Rosie because like as soon as they turned around and I looked at her and she was like, mm-mm.
No, you just go. Mm-mm. You just got to stick your tail between your legs and walk out.
Like, dang it. All right. Well, I'll just go back in and make sure that they know.
Hey, thanks, guys. Had a great night.
Appreciate that. Yeah, check this out. All right. I wanted to ask you guys' opinion because if there was anyone, Mike, I know you're a sushi fan. Stefania, I know you're high class. So that's why I thought you two would be the ones that I need to ask this question to. Last thing. Let's just close this out real quick.
Stefania, very proud of you for tipping across the board, though. That's as somebody who, you know, waited tables and bartended to get through grad school. We appreciate that.
I was a server for a very long time, as a bunch of people were in the service industry. Yes, a lot of times those early jobs are. Yeah, you want to take care of those people. Last thing, let's close this out. Stefania, real quick. Favorite fantasy move of the offseason?
Derrick Henry to the Ravens. I love it.
It's hard to argue with that.
I love it. I mean, I think he is one of one. I wrote this in our little, you know, where we had to comment on what we thought of free agency moves. And I was asked what I thought was the best free agency signing. And that was it. I love it for Derrick Henry. I love it for the Ravens. I think he is going to be just, he's going to continue to be the steamroller threat that he's always been. He's playing with an offensive line that, you know, this will be good for him. And I think he's going to bulldoze his way into the end zone enough times to make us remember what we love about Derrick Henry.
And I love the idea that the addition of Derrick Henry allows Keaton Mitchell to come back at a more nominal speed, not feel like he's got to rush back. I love the excitement that young 22-year-old can bring to the team.
Yeah, and it's like
so.
You got it. And then it opens up things for Lamar Jackson,
everybody,
too.
Everybody, seriously.
I mean, everyone.
Yep.
So I couldn't love be happier one. About that. I love that signing.
I agree with you.
Really
all right.
happy.
Mike, what about you?
Yeah, so mine's fairly obvious, I would say.
Let me guess. Running back from New York that might have gone to Philly.
Yeah, maybe. It could be that. So, look, here's the thing. I think a lot of people, including myself, were a little surprised that the Eagles signed Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. That's my pick. Mm-hmm. But it's a copycat league, and I think the Eagles saw what the 49ers did with Christian McCaffrey. And look, I don't think the Eagles would sign a good running back. I don't think they would spend up for obviously they didn't spend up for Miles Sanders or DeAndre Swift. I don't think they would go after like a Tony Pollard necessarily and pay what he got.
Right.
But when Saquon Barkley, a potentially elite difference maker as a pass catcher and a rusher, becomes available, the cap went up. They had the cap space to spend. I think that was like, okay, here's our moment where we can go and catch up to the Niners a little bit and add this new dimension to the offense. So I think that's why they did it. And obviously, as an Eagles fan, it's going to be really exciting.
Heck yeah. Being able to add any type of
Saquon's
major running
daughter
game.
Liked it. Did you see that on social media?
I did not see that.
Because she knows all the symbols of the teams.
Oh,
and, so she asked, Daddy, does this mean we're finally going to win?
Well, that's first of all, amazing and true. Second, also, I love that like Barkley immediately was like Tiki Barber.
Oh, that back
took a
voice.
Shot at him, and Barkley took a shot right back. He was like, "You fit right in with Philly that right away. Just go good. After go after Tiki immediately." Or
by the way, funny. how can you blame someone when it was made Bruh. Clear that it was time for him to move and on, and he's taken the best opportunity for him?
What else could he have done?
By the way, he had said he would stay with the Giants forever if they paid him, and they didn't.
Yeah,
want
but
it.
Let's be clear: he took a pit stop in New York. He went to Penn State. Like he came back. Okay. That was just
Here
like
wow.
That was just a cup of tea in New York.
He's
back where he
belongs now. Saving that.
Yeah, seriously.
We got a Philly fan in that.
My favorite fantasy offseason move this year, and I already mentioned it, Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta, just because it allows all the people that we were so frustrated about last year to feel like they have actual fantasy value in our roster.
Yeah, look, if Kyle Pitts doesn't get it going now, I don't know what to say. I mean,
it really does feel like if you don't do it this year, I'm probably out.
Yeah, on one hand. On the other hand, it's like you think about all these
but then
guys.
He's just going
like,
to be 24.
Like Brandon Pettigrew and even Hawkins. It took a little while, and Ingram and Njoku, some of those guys, the highest pedigree guys, the first rounders, sometimes it could take 5 years before they, and he's 23 years old.
Like, the difference for Kyle Pitts, though, is just it wasn't him. I mean, last year, I think it partially was because we all knew, I told you, there was more going on than met the eye with his injury. He acknowledged after the season he had a multi-ligament knee injury. But I felt for him being in that stifled in that offense from the prior year. And so, you know, I think there's always been a narrative traditionally that tight ends really don't bloom until later in their career. But Sam Laporta just took that and wadded it up and threw it in the garbage. And I feel, again, it's so much of what we look at. I don't think gets enough credit. My friend Lou Riddick says it all the time. It's like, it's all about the opportunity and the placement as well. Like, guys have to land in the right spot for them to succeed. It's not just about what their skill set is and can they do this from college to the pro. They have to be in the right offense with the right coaches around them. And I feel for Kyle Pitts, but now is your chance to show us.
Darnell Washington. Is he going to have secondary tight end value with the Pittsburgh Steelers now that Arthur Smith is there?
Who knows? Connor Hayward's there too.
Darnell Washington is 6'7", 265 pounds. Like, he's huge.
He's awesome. I liked him as a prospect. The one thing we don't have to worry about is Jonnu Smith because he signed with Miami.
That's true. Yeah.
Which could be good. That's true. Good spot for him,
good for Miami and good for him, but we don't have to worry about fantasy.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready for this Falcons team to have a quarterback under center and see what everybody looks like when they're operating at their fullest potential.
Zach Robinson calling the plays for Atlanta. Used to work at PFF. I used to work at PFF.
Hey, now.
So you could be calling the plays.
That maybe
for Atlanta.
Who knows?
Why not?
I wonder if he has a projection PD.
I was just going to say.
With your, what do they call it? The transitive property?
Yes.
You used to work together. He calls plays. Therefore, you could call plays.
That's exactly how that works. Mike, do you have anything coming out soon that people need to be aware of?
Yeah, so I did that PDF, and the projections are uploaded to the game. The 2024 game will be up soon, and the projections will be part of that. And while I did all that whole process, I wrote an article, so that'll be up soon.
Wow.
Hopefully this week.
Wow.
Everything I learned as I kind of went through that whole process.
I wish you'd quit slacking in the office.
Seriously. Stefania, what about you? You have anything coming down the pipe?
Well, as a matter of fact, I did post this already, but I don't know that we've talked about it since my article on the field surfaces ran.
That's right. Yep.
So I did an article on some of the things that the league and the NFLPA are looking at and testing artificial versus grass surfaces. Mm-hmm. It is not, here's what I'll give you. It's not a binary decision. It's not either turf, artificial turf or natural grass. It's really a very nuanced conversation. And hopefully you take the time to go check it out. There's a video there that shows this machine that is out in the field doing testing. They just started that last year. Stay tuned. There'll be more to come. We have a feature hopefully airing this fall, coming into the football season on it. And then I posted today, because at the NFL owners meetings, the hip drop tackle ban was approved. And that means we're going to start seeing penalties for that. I know there's a lot of people, this is not an easy conversation. Sure. There are a lot of people on the defensive side who don't favor it. It's a longer conversation than we can have here. And I understand it's hard when you make rule changes, especially something that feels like it's not so easy to define, but there's a lot of work that has gone into this. They didn't just throw it out. But if you are wondering, so what exactly is a hip drop tackle? I posted a video that I made with Dr. Bob Anderson, who is one of the premier foot and ankle specialists in the league and also a team physician with the Packers still. And he explains it. So take a look and then
check
you'll at least know what we're talking about. You can find that on all of my social feeds.
Heck yeah.
Well, everyone has you, I think, blocked on there, but I retweeted it. So you can just check my feed at Mike Lane. Don't give Stefania impressions. You can go to mine.
At Stefania underscore ESPN.
That's right, because I wasn't following you for the longest time. Yeah,
that's true. That's
on
true.
Instagram,
you weren't.
That's
yeah,
it.
I didn't forgot know. About that. I didn't know, but I am now. I follow everything. Right, I even get out my magnifying glass and look at the cheat sheets.
Wow. I'm doing a UFL show with our dude Scooby Margeza starting this Sunday.
Wow, fun.
Yeah, so I'm if you want to dive into the UFL, listen, this is one of those things. Everyone loves football. We're all huge football fans. Mm-hmm. So this UFL, I'm excited for this season because...
If you want to see the kickoffs in the way that's being discussed right now, you can watch the UFL and see them in person.
That's right. Every Sunday, 6:30 p.m. on the YouTube, Facebook, and ESPN app.
Love
Go check
it.
That out. And... next week, Fantasy Focus for the next couple of weeks will be coming to you live on Friday rather than on Mondays. We have been coming to you on Mondays, so we will not see you again until next Friday. So for the next 10 days, be kind to yourself, love one another, and we can't wait to see you guys next week. Peace.
You were also doing First Draft.
I did do First Draft. Field left. He boondoggled on me.
What is he up to?
I know.
I don't even.
Really
I didn't know Field
anything.
Knew how to boondoggle.
Remember, he was on this show, and then he was just
Field
not on the show.
At all? Because I've never seen him on the
he's
screen
probably
anywhere
just on vacation.
At all.
That guy does.
I mean, he doesn't work.
It's no secret. Not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail U, a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you.